This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 7th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, part two in Shauna Lee's series on ethanol. This time we'll hear about the science behind it and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Illinois still has no budget in place, even though the state is supposed to send aid money to schools Friday. In light of the impasse, Governor Rod Blagojevich is offering districts no-interest loans. But as Amanda Beneke reports, education groups are still worried about their finances.
Just in case a budget is not put in place this week, the governor has a backup plan he says will help schools. Districts can apply for no-interest loans from the state. An official with Illinois' education agency says it will allow poor districts that rely on state funding to get by. Ben Schwarm with the Illinois Association of School Boards says his group appreciates the effort.
However, the first thing that jumped in my mind is this doesn't sound too good because it sounds to me like someone doesn't think there's going to be a budget in place. And that, I think, is a big problem.
Schwarm says schools want a full year's budget because many are supposed to open their doors in a week or two, but have no idea how much money they'll receive from the state or when it will come. He also says schools are unsure about how the loan program will work. Many details are unknown, such as the criteria for receiving a loan, how long it will take for the loan money to reach districts, and if schools that have reached their borrowing limits are even eligible for the funds. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois House and Senate leaders say they're near a budget deal, but it is still up in the air if they can reach a full agreement this week. The state is currently without any budget, and the comptroller warns he must have spending authority by Wednesday, or school aid payments and government workers' paychecks will go out late. Senate Republican leader Frank Watson of Greenville says it's not definite, but he says the leaders are almost in agreement on a 12-month budget. But the point of contention now is over an infrastructure program. Watson says his plan is to pay for construction projects by expanding gambling.
That's what we're negotiating. We're talking about gaming would obviously be about the only game in town to do it.
While momentum seems to be building to allow a casino in Chicago, as well as to allow more seats at poker tables and more slot machines at current casinos, it's still unknown if there is enough support for such a measure to pass. Some lawmakers are against gaming in any form. Others want some proceeds to fund northeastern Illinois' public transportation system. Still others want an additional new casino in downstate Illinois. And some legislators want to pass an operating budget before taking on any gambling and construction proposals. Even if the leaders reach a resolution and the General Assembly passes a budget in the next couple of days, the governor has said he'll veto any budget that does not fund an expansion of state-funded health care. A Citizens Police Review Board to examine complaints against officers won the Urbana City Council's approval last night on a 4-2 vote, and once again, local residents lined up to speak for and against the proposal. Retired Urbana Police Lieutenant Michael Metzler told the council that a vocal anti-police minority was behind the review board idea and that it would hurt police community relations.
The proposal that's before you tonight at the outset has been designed to work against the police and not towards a sound, reasoned approach where the police and the citizens can work together.
Retired University of Illinois professor Belden Fields denied the charge. He called the Urbana Police Department better than most, but said that when police wrongdoing occurs, it should not be tolerated.
But that should not be taken to mean that any of the people who are advocating of this hate the police department in Urbana. I don't. I'm grateful to it.
The 7-member Civilian Review Board will review complaints made against the Urbana Police, but the panel's rulings will come only after the police have conducted their own investigation and it won't have a say in police discipline. Review Board rulings that disagree with the police chief will be sent to the mayor. Mayor Laurel Prossing says she'll put a call out soon for applicants. The Board of Champaign-Urbana's Public Health District has fired its director. The board deliberated for 3 hours behind closed doors and voted unanimously to dismiss Vito Palazzolo after he was on paid leave for the last 3 months. Public Health District Board Chair Carol Elliott says, among other reasons, Palazzolo was dismissed for financial irregularities like misuse of the district's credit cards and the unauthorized purchase of equipment. Elliott says those purchases included a $4,000 lawnmower, an $8,000 trailer, and a nearly $26,000 truck.
You know, the pickup truck has a back seat and is huge and has a snowplow that attaches. And had we been asked prior to purchasing that, I'd say, yeah, we might need a pickup truck, but certainly not for five people to ride in or something.
Elliott says as of now it cannot be estimated how large the damage for the public is. Pelosello was hired in January 2006, and Elliott says that minor irregularities started as early as February of that year. She says the board will now contact the Champaign Police Department for possible further investigation. Meanwhile, Julie Pride continues as the Public Health District Interim Director. She took over after Pelosello was suspended in May. Both sides in the fight over VX nerve agent at the Newport Chemical Depot in Indiana are promising action this week. Army spokesman Greg Mayhall says that sometime this week they'll resume their shipments of wastewater from Process VX to Port Arthur, Texas for incineration. The Army had suspended the shipments while a federal judge considered a request from environmental groups for a preliminary injunction, but the judge rejected the request last Friday. Meanwhile, the environmental groups say they'll ask the judge this week to reconsider. Craig Williams of the Chemical Weapons Working Group says they found several errors in Judge Larry McKinley's ruling. Williams and others say VX may still be present in the wastewater, a charge the Army denies. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bostrom. Congress wants to take the edge off America's oil addiction, so this year lawmakers will likely increase mandates for ethanol. The alcohol-based fuel is made from domestic corn. But legislators want a new kind of brew, one that's made from cheap, energy-rich plants. It's called cellulosic ethanol. In our second story on this new fuel, Shauna Lee looks at whether the science behind it is coming into its own.
Plant biologist Tom Voigt wants Midwest farmers to get acquainted with an amazing species. It's a tall, experimental grass called Miscanthus gigantus. Miscanthus holds loads of energy, energy that might get turned into ethanol and run our cars someday. Voigt is still testing whether it can thrive in Illinois. He says it can, but right now he and I stand in a wide field of mud, weeds, and young, scraggly miscanthus.
I would expect that by the end of the third growing season, it'll be pretty impressive. I can take you to a plot that's at the beginning of its fourth year, and you can see it's dramatically different than this area is.
Voigt strikes an apologetic expression. He knows farmers won't like the look of this field, or that it takes years for miscanthus to get started. But there's more.
There's no market for it right now. And the other downside is it's slow to produce. If a farmer wanted to plant 200 acres of this now, there'd be no way to do that in this country.
The plants are hard to find. City folk and suburbanites might think there's nothing at stake for them. But Voigt's experiments and others like it are key to cheap, clean fuel. Congress wants much more ethanol, but if farmers can't grow energy-rich plants like miscanthus, we'll get ethanol from inefficient, costly corn, or we'll stick with petroleum. In the end, farmers' attitudes will really matter. I meet Kane County farmer Steve Pitstick under a barn door while it drizzles outside.
We had hoped to be combining wheat today, but Mother Nature's kind of changed our plans.
Pitstick seems like a good candidate to grow something new. He's got a reputation for being high-tech, innovative. But he built that reputation growing just a few crops.
You know, what we see out here today, corn, there's a little bit of wheat, a lot of soy as well. Have you ever grown anything other than those three?
Nothing major. We did some vegetable crops in the 80s, but other than that, we're pretty much corn, soybean country.
Why is that?
The soil is best suited for that, and we know how to grow it.
Illinois farmers adopted soybeans about 90 years ago, and they haven't grown a new major crop since then. Someone's always bought or subsidized soy, corn, or wheat. But miscanthus? Pitstick isn't sure it will ever be a contender.
What's my market? Where do I go with the product? And what kind of price can I receive from it? How do I grow it? You know, all the things I take for granted that I know in corn production, I need to learn about producing an alternative crop.
He worries about how weedy, muddy miscanthus fields will take years to fill out.
If we could have something to guarantee us that lost income in that transition phase, I think we can do it.
Right now, there's no program to pay him for years of fighting weeds and making no profit. A survey suggests many Illinois farmers feel like Steve Pitstick. Many hadn't even heard of miscanthus. It turns out surveyors didn't know about it.
So I didn't know anything about miscanthus either. We had this joke in the office where you were Miss Canthus. And then my graduate student was Mr. Canthus.
The University of Illinois' Ann Silvis collected responses from several hundred Illinois farmers. The general picture? Miscanthus faces an uphill climb. For one, Silva says many farmers don't have space to raise slow-growing crops, even profitable ones.
So as a farmer, you might own 200 or 300 acres, but you might rent another 1,000 acres, and that's your farming operation. So on rented land, you may not be able to make the investment that doesn't return for 2 or 3 years.
Silvis does not interpret the survey as a unanimous thumbs down on miscanthus. Instead, she looks at it as a reluctant maybe.
Those issues have to be resolved. And what we learned in our survey is that farmers aren't going to risk this production until those markets become more clear.
The future of miscanthus is dicey, but Congress is not betting the farm on one crop. The government is researching lots of bioenergy plants, and for the time being, there's still corn. Pittstick is proud that farmers have raised enough corn to meet current demand.
But the economics were there, and the American farmers stood up and did what we needed to grow it.
How does it feel to have Congress and the president, depend so much on you?
It feels good. We've actually moved from a place and time where we weren't really wanted. We just kind of made ourselves, nobody really cared about us, to now all of a sudden farming's exciting. In 30-some years of farming, this is the most exciting time I've had.
But with new biofuel crops, Congress will heap even more responsibility for energy onto farmers. I'm Sean Ali.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, a heat advisory is in effect from 1 this afternoon to 7 o'clock Thursday night. Hot and humid today, mostly sunny skies. There's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this morning, then scattered showers this afternoon, the high around 95. Heat index readings at 103 to 108. Mostly cloudy tonight, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, the low 75. And for tomorrow, hot and humid. Partly sunny skies, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 95. Heat index readings 103 to 108. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. There's a chance of showers, the low around 75. Partly sunny on Thursday, the high in the upper 90s. The heat index readings up to 108. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.